Blog Talk Radio.
Who controls the past controls the future. Who controls the present controls the past.
The death of bin Laden marks the most significant achievement to date in our nation's effort to defeat Al-Qaeda.
All you got to do is start looking around. Start thinking for yourself. Start investigating things. And you will see it all right there. So you have the power. Humanity has the power. We have the power. Do you want to fight? You better believe you've got one.
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories.
And for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The answer to 1984 is 1776.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
It is a big idea. A new world order.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Either you were with us, or you were with the terrorists.
But I also believe that a lot of gun owners would agree that AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals.
Good evening, everyone, on this hot July day down here in North Carolina. Oh, it's so hot out there. Let me tell you, the humidity, the air is so thick, the birds are falling out of the sky begging for water. Let me tell you, it is so hot here in North Carolina. The grass is all dead. The trees are getting ready to fall over. The bugs are screaming at night for water. And let me tell you, the air is so thick, you could take a pair of scissors and cut your name in it. That's how thick it is. I'd like to welcome anyone who's listening in tonight. I had some people that were supposed to be calling in. I don't know what's going on here. They were supposed to be a guest of mine, but now people are very unreliable, as always. You know, it's very difficult to count on people nowadays. They promise they're going to listen and call in and be your guest, and here I schedule a platform or something to say, and where are they? Nowhere to be found. So, you know, I guess I'll have to wing it tonight. I guess I don't know what we're gonna talk about. But I think I do know what we're gonna talk about, and what we're gonna. You know, but the main topic is what everyone else is talking about today, you know, and I really don't want to keep beating this issue into the ground, but, you know, I guess the mainstream media feels it's a very, very important issue. And why? I don't know. Very strange. Well, I mean, what are they up to? What are they trying to distract us from? Are you paying attention out there? Probably not. My guest just sent me a message. He said he's going to be on in 2 minutes. So he's running late. Is anyone any responsible anymore? You know, I told him 6 o'clock is the beginning of the show. 6 o'clock, not 6:10 after six, not quarter after six, not 5:45. But that's America today, folks. That's why people can't hold a job. That's why companies can't survive. I mean, myself, I used to run a business. Employees, as soon as I pay them, they'd be gone for 2 days, you know, pissing away their money. You know, I mean, they were never on time. I don't think in the 5 years I was landscaping here in North Carolina that I ever had a day that my employees that worked for me came in on time. Of course, we're never early. They were always 10 to 15 minutes late. Always. So, I guess that's one of the problems we face today in America, and why the, people complain about the Mexicans coming over here and working for low wages and, taking the jobs. But you know what? I'm going to tell you something right now. The Mexican worker is a very hard worker. They work very, very hard, and they're always on time. I had fellow people, other landscapers, tell me that you should hire Mexicans. And they would, give me this advice. And I didn't want to do it because I advertised as American-owned and American-operated. And I didn't want to be hypocritical, to my customers. I mean, I'm American-owned, American-operated. I mean, Mexicans are hardworking, back-breaking people. I mean, and they're reliable and they're honest. But most of them do not speak English. So I send them to a customer's house and, the customer asks them a question. They can't answer. So, it's difficult. You're put in a difficult situation. So that's why these large corporations hire these many Mexicans as landscapers. Because I was a landscaper. I had a landscaping business. I mean, I still do some odd jobs as a hobby here and there, for a little extra money. But, I'm not out there consistently, mowing 40 to 50 yards a week any longer, because the labor force out there just can't do it. The people that were working for me, they were just terrible. Lazy, argumentative, sloppy work, never cared about the customer, only cared about their hourly wage, had no respect for the equipment. And, I remember one time I put an ad up on Craigslist, for help wanted, and the people that would call were just, you could tell automatically. I mean, I would ask, I would say, you must have a driver's license. You must be alcohol and drug free. You must have your own transportation to and from work. I'd get a phone call, 8 o'clock. All calls between 2 and 6 p.m. They'd call me 9 o'clock at night. Are you still hiring? Drunk. I can get a ride there tomorrow. Can you give me a ride home at the end of the day? No lie. That's what I would get. No lie. I swear. That's what I would get for help. people think I'm rude or that's not true. But if you ask any one of my family members, that's true. That's what I would get. And I would tell the caller, hey, didn't I tell you, doesn't the ad say between 2 and 6 p.m.? And they'd come up with every excuse. My phone was out of minutes. I didn't get my minutes put on my phone. Minutes. I didn't have access to a phone. I overslept. But I really want the job. Can you hire me? Goodbye. I had one guy. I interviewed him, and I said, he says to me, he said, he's 21 years old. Okay, young kid. Good. I like that because, we don't need an old man. Landscaping is a very difficult, hard, back-breaking job. You have to be in good shape. You have to be in good physical health, go out there and cut lawns in 90-degree heat for hour after hour is hard, back-breaking work. And you have to do a good job, and you got to be responsible, and you have to show up on time, and all that comes with the job also. I had this one kid, he was 21 years old, and he calls me up, of course, late at night. I think it was about 9:30, and he sounded really good. And he said, I said, are you sure you're able to work now? I'm going to schedule some work for tomorrow morning for you. I'm going to put you in the truck with someone else. And, he said he had lots of experience, you know, he worked for New Garden Landscape Company and this company, and, you know, he sold himself very well. I'll give him credit there. Well, 9 o'clock in the morning rolls around. I told him to be there at 7:30. Well, it's 9 o'clock in the morning now. I called him. Where are you at? He says, I'm waiting for my ride. Didn't I just, now remember I told you earlier, must have your own transportation to work. I'm waiting for a ride, he says. I said, never mind. Tell your ride, turn around and go back, or if they haven't gotten out of bed yet, tell them stay in bed. I don't need you. But anyway, last night's show, we had a good time. It was a pretty good show. We talked about the Confederate flag issue and what was going on with the Confederate flag. And apparently the Confederate flag is a very evil symbolic symbol today in America, which, as you know, two nights ago I did a show on the history of the Confederate flag, true history. I actually quoted U.S. senators, congressmen, and from the Civil War era, about the Confederate flag and where legislation was proposed and on, you know, the Civil War itself and why the Civil War was actually being fought. And I gave basically a real good historical lesson where, and like I said, you didn't have to take my word for it. I gave all the sites and quotes that where, you know, it would where you could look this stuff up yourself, you know, congressional records and whatnot. So I've got somebody that wants to call in, I believe, who wants to check in, may have a question. So I'm going to try to put them on the line here. Okay. Hello. You're on the air.
Hey.
Who do I have on the air? Alex. How you doing, Alex? It's Alex from Meriden, Connecticut. Alex, go ahead, Alex.
I'm up in Massachusetts right now.
Oh, yes, that's right. You're in Massachusetts. What town in Massachusetts are you calling from?
Springfield,
Massachusetts. Well, you got to remember, yep. Alex, you got to kind of keep your phone and good signal because people have to be able to hear what you have to say. Because we have a lot of other people listening tonight, too, for some reason. I didn't really advertise the show too much, but several people have logged in. But, Alex, what do you do? I mean, we talked about you last night because you're my nephew and you're going into the Army. Now, a couple of people asked me, why are you going into the Army? So, in your own words, can you tell me why are you joining the Army in the times in which we live today?
Well, I'm not going to college, so the Army offers a pretty good education for free. So that's one of them. And another reason, I want to defend my country and fight.
Good. Okay. All right, that's good. Those are good reasons. Hey, I respect that. But let me ask you a question. What happens if you're stationed, say, in Afghanistan, where, you know, you're looking at, you know, possible confrontation, war? I mean, every human being is going to be afraid. I hear people saying, yeah, I want to go kill this, you know. But listen, I mean, you're obviously going to be afraid. But how do you feel? I mean, do you have family back home? I mean, does this type of thing worry you?
Yeah, a little bit, because you never know what's going on in the world. You know, I don't know where they're going to send me.
Yeah, you don't know, huh? They don't tell you, huh? It's not like you go sign up and they say, we're going to put you right here, and you're going to be there for 3 years, right?
Well,
so break it down.
Okay,
well, break it down for me. What's the first couple weeks? I mean, what, obviously they have to tell you what you're in for. How did it begin, your induction into the Army? Because this is news to me. And if anyone doesn't know, Alex is my nephew, and I had no idea he was joining the Army. It was a surprise to me. We never even talked about this. But how was this introduced to you? I mean, how did this idea come about?
I started looking into it about 6 months ago because, I mean, I didn't plan on going to college. I mean, work's hard to find in Connecticut. So
yeah.
That seemed like the best thing for me to do, going to the Army.
How How did you, I mean, how, well, I mean, obviously, I mean, so you obviously started thinking about it. Well, how did you go about the process of enlisting? What did you do?
I just went to the recruiter one day with my dad, and I started talking.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well.
Simple as that.
Okay. All right. So how long are you going to be enlisted for in the U.S. Army?
3 years and 17 weeks.
Good for you. Well, you know, we'll pray for your safety, of course, and, you know, hopefully, you know, you'll come back home. And after your original enlistment is completed, what do you plan on doing after the Army? Are you going to re-enlist? Are you going to make a career out of it?
I'll probably re-enlist. I'm not sure yet. That's 3 years down the
okay.
road.
All right. Well, Alex is 18 years old. He's joining the Army, and... he's, you know, this is something very honorable, and a lot of young people do that today because today, in the economy that we have in America today, it's very difficult for young people to graduate high school and find a job. It's very difficult. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why is it so difficult to find a job? Well, there's no jobs out there. All our jobs have been shipped overseas. And
right.
Why is that? Well, because there's an agenda, and we're to destroy America. This is the objective of the New World Order. And like I said, the show title is Understanding the New World Order, how we're going to live as Christians through the New World Order, and what's going to happen and how you can prepare yourself. Now, if there's anyone listening that who is not a Christian, that's fine. You know, whatever you believe, you know, is your belief. But, you know, the objective is to talk about the things that are happening to us today and understanding the times we live in today. And people must understand that, like, for instance, this issue of the Confederate flag. The Confederate flag issue really is a side distraction. Like I said, a couple shows ago, you can look it up, I went over the exact historical background of the Confederate flag, what the Confederate flag actually stood for. It was not racism. It was not slavery. Trust me. The South, Southerners owned 2% of the slaves in the entire country. The rest were owned by Northerners. So obviously the South was not fighting for slavery. Okay? So, you know, but why is that the main... Why, when you ask the general individual out there or a person what the Confederate flag stands for or what the Civil War was about, why do they say slavery? Why do they say the flag stands for oppression? Yeah, go ahead, Alex.
That's what they taught us in school. It was for slavery. The South fought for
really?
Slavery. Yeah. That's exactly
and
what
even
they taught
though, us. Even though, I don't know if you listened a couple nights ago, even though I went to the Library of Congress website and I looked up actual documents, actual congressional records of House speakers, United States senators from 1861, from the Civil War era, and we did a complete, breakdown of how the Confederate flag came about and came into existence and what it actually stood for at that time and why it is flying over government buildings today, okay? But you're telling me that in high school or in middle school, they taught you that's what the Confederate flag stands for, slavery, right?
Yeah.
Amazing, amazing. Did any students in your class, question that, or did they just go along to get along and just do the lesson that was taught at hand? Because I wasn't taught that when I was in high school. I was in high school during the 1980s, and I don't remember going over in my history class, U.S. history class, or my civics class, what the Confederate flag stood for. So, what did your fellow students believe at that time, and what did they think when they, you know, when they were teaching this type of?
They really didn't say anything. They just went along with it.
Really?
I mean, you can't really question it because it's going to be on a test, and if you get the test wrong, you're going to get a bad grade.
Wow. Yeah, true. And that's the problem, you know, that we have today. You know, that Francis, what did we do last night on the show? You were you listened to the show last night. You told me. That's why I pulled you on tonight. What did we do? Walmart has adopted the policy selling anything that has to do with a Confederacy. Okay?
they've adopted the policy that if they have a, if there's a product out there, the Confederate flag is banned, basically. They will not sell any product that has to do with any type of Confederate flag symbolism on it. And what did we do last night? We did a little experiment. We asked, you know, we called the Walmart store and asked them, you know, would they bake me, the bakery section of Walmart and the food section, would they bake a cake for a picnic I had coming up with a Confederate flag, you know, image on it, you know, a symbol on it. And they said, no, we're not going to do that. And she basically hung up on me. And then, though, I went and asked to at another Walmart store, can you bake a cake for me with, I'm celebrating my brother's marriage, you know, which is not true, but I was just like putting it out there as, you know, hypothetical. I'm celebrating my brother's marriage, and would you bake a cake for me that celebrates a gay wedding? Do you guys stand for that? Is that okay? You know, would you be willing to do that for me? You know, with two men holding hands on it. And basically, she said, yeah, I don't see a problem with that. And they were willing to do it. We were, you know, they wanted to take the order and everything. And then, Alex, what happened when I called the store manager to ask for an answer? Hey, listen, whatever answer they give me, I have to accept. It's their company. They can do what they want. But what did the manager do when I asked, why is it okay to bake a cake for me having to do with homosexuality, which is offensive to me, okay? I'm a Bible-believing, right. I'm a rightfully Bible-believing Christian. And a lot of Christians out there would find that offensive. Now, am I judging homosexuals? Hey, look, I judge the fact that it's a sin, according to the Word of God. However, if you're homosexual and you want to be homosexual and that's what you do, that is your decision. I have no say-so if you want to do that, okay? So let's get that straight right now. I don't have any, you know, any problems with that. You do what in the privacy of your own home what you want to do, as long as it does not hurt another person. It's called common law and common sense, folks. Okay? I don't have any problems with that. But when your lifestyle becomes, you know, a factual foundation to the way our society is supposed to operate, and I am forced to accept your lifestyle, okay? I'm forced to accept your lifestyle and promote it and go along with it and conduct my daily business accepting it, then you're violating my individual liberty and rights to believe. That's how I see it. And if anyone disagrees with me, that's fine. But what I have to say is this. Look, we got a problem in America today that is very, very symptomatic. We have a problem where everyone's opinion is applied as factual foundation to the way we're supposed to live today in our daily lives. So, you know, we have to stick to the truth of what real history is and what it stands for, okay? Now, Alex, I want to get back to you. You're going into the United States Army, okay? What if the United States, I'm going to put you on the spot here, Alex. You still there, Alex?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, make sure now, because remember, you got people listening here. So you got to, and you can't have any background noise either, because you pick it up very easily. Okay, now listen. If the United States Army that you are enlisted in sends you to confiscate people's guns, will you obey those orders?
Well, I mean, I have to. If I disobey my orders, I'll be discharged from the Army.
But wait a second, Alex. You have the obligation and the right to disobey an unlawful order. Wait a second, Alex. Let me educate you here. You got oath. When you go into the Army, what do they do? You're swearing to uphold the United States Constitution. You're swearing to uphold and defend the United States Constitution against foreign and domestic. Domestic is the people here, Alex. The people within our enemies. Now, let me ask you again. If they are issuing you an order that goes against the United States Constitution. Are you going to sit here and tell me that you're going to go against the right of an American citizen to bear arms? If they give an order, and the state of Connecticut, say, just say hypothetically, the state of Connecticut's governor says, we're confiscating all firearms today. No more. No American is allowed to own any more firearms. That's it. Are you telling me you're going to kick down my door and take my guns?
No, because that's unlawful, people's rights.
Okay. All right. Now you're starting to change your I probably worded the question wrong to begin with, because, you know, I understand you have to follow orders. But okay, so you understand the difference between a lawful order and an unlawful order, correct?
Yeah. That's against the United All States right. Constitution. You can't do that.
Okay. All right. And I'm sure you're going to have fellow people within the military that is going to, go along with you also. I mean, because there are a lot of people in the military that I speak with, and, like, you know, you're my nephew, and I, you know, I respect that opinion of yours, that if that does occur and something like that does happen, where you're ordered to violate a United States citizen's constitutional right, then you are willing to disobey that unlawful order. I respect that. But there's a lot of people, Alex, that are in the military that will obey, that unlawful order. And that's what's scary. And, you know, we as Americans have to understand that our military and our police are our last line of defense against tyranny, okay? So remember, tyranny always shows up at your doorstep in the form of wearing a uniform, okay? You know, that's what you have to understand. You know, I've preached this many, many times. And what's happening today, the government intrusively getting involved in our day-to-day lives, telling us what to do, how to raise our children. Last night we also brought up, I don't want to put too many topics on the floor because there's not that much time to discuss them all, but we also talked about the vaccination law that was created in California where all children must be vaccinated according to state guidelines to attend public school. Now, many people say, well, how are you going to put my child at risk because you don't want to get your vaccinations? And people are so ignorant. They don't understand. How is my child, because he hasn't been vaccinated, going to put your child at risk? Okay, do you think if my child has polio, he's going to be able to attend school? Right? Right?
Right.
So, there's a lot more to it than that also. You know, I mean, they had a measles outbreak. 162 kids became infected with measles, and all of a sudden now we got to make a law that protects all children. Listen, you can't legislate morality. You can't legislate protection. You can't create a law that's going to prevent crime. You can't legislate a law or make a law that's going to prevent a disease or a sickness, okay? All you can do is go about every day living your life the best you can and putting your faith in the good Lord and understanding what's happening today, and then finding researching and understanding what happened yesterday. Okay, and only then will you be able to plan for the future. When you understand the truth of yesterday and you live according to the truth today, you can plan for your future tomorrow. But anyway, Alex, what I want to do is I want to call this manager at Walmart tonight. Okay, so we're going to put that manager, excuse me, sorry, on the spot tonight. And we're going to see if she'll take my call, all right, and we're going to find out here. So we've got to get the number here for Walmart pulled up. We're going to call the manager, and we're going to ask, why will you not make a cake with the Confederate flag on it? I mean, who's it hurting? Isn't it my individual right to enjoy a cake in America that I like and want to see what it looks like? I mean, who am I hurting? Is that cake going to get up and shoot anybody? Is that cake going out and marching with the Ku Klux Klan? we don't want to get in the whole history of the Confederate flag again. I want to keep going over and over it. If you missed the show, you can go back and listen to it. But the history of the Confederate flag, I pretty much outlined it, what it really stands for. And I assure you, it is not for racism or slave or any type of slave owning or anything like that. It was for the South to snub its nose at the North to say, hey, you did not destroy us all. And that's black, white, and whoever lived in the South at that time after the Reconstruction Acts. But anyway, we're going to go ahead and get let me see, let me get the number up here. All right, hopefully they'll answer and not put us on hold too long. And we'll go with it there. Let me see, let me type it in properly. You got to remember, I'm still new to this switchboard, so I don't really understand it too much. Please call. Okay, we're going to try to get them on the phone.
Thank you for calling Walmart.
Battleground Walmart, how many direct you call?
This is the Battleground store, right? Can I
yes,
be connected to your bakery? Yes, can I be connected to your bakery department?
Hold on, please.
All right. They're probably all sleeping. That store is just terrible, the one on Battleground in rural North Carolina. It's the worst Walmart. Customer service.
Walmart Bakery.
Oh, how you doing? I have a question for you. And I was, do you take orders for baking cakes?
For what?
Do you guys make cakes for your customers? Can I, like, place an order to make a cake?
Yeah, we take cake orders.
You do? Okay.
Yeah.
And, I was just wondering because of all the publicity and everything that's going on. Will you bake me a cake that has the picture of the Confederate flag on it? Or is that against Walmart policy?
Well, let me see if I've got one on my computer. Hold on.
Okay. I guess I'm on hold. Am I still on hold? Hello? Yeah, I can hear her typing on the computer. Hopefully somebody gets on the phone here soon. I'm ready to fall asleep here. I hope my callers are still listening. Hello? I want to know if you can bake a cake with a Confederate flag on it, that's all. From what I hear, I can't. I can't have it done. They say Walmart won't do it anymore.
Oh, no, that's United Kingdom. How does a Confederate flag work in my mind?
Oh, that's
what I saw then. Yeah. You can't?
I'm going to give her about 30 seconds, and then I'm just going to hang up and call another store.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
You can call in the manager and ask.
Yeah, I mean, what's the problem?
You can just
call
back and talk to the manager.
Cake. Yeah, but I want to order a cake. Can I order a cake? Or am I not allowed to? I mean, I don't understand. Do you guys take orders for cakes or not? Hello? All right. Hello? Someone still there? Okay, I guess she hung up. Okay. So what we're gonna, I guess she just went ahead and hung up on me. That's Walmart, folks. That's customer service at its best. Alex, you still on the line?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and call a different store, and I'm going to complain to the manager about this. We'll see if we can get some results. I want an answer. I want to know what's going on here. You know, why can't I not have a cake made? They make cakes for all kinds of occasions. They advertise on their website. I want to know why I can't have a cake made with a Confederate flag on it. I mean, what's the big deal? I mean, who is it hurting? Why, is that some sort of new policy? And I want to know why that policy was created.
Thank you for calling Walmart.
Is it against the law?
Thank you for calling at Walmart.
Hey, how you doing tonight? I got a question.
I'm fine. How are you? Good.
I'm doing all right. I want to speak to some sort of manager or somebody in charge. I have a complaint. I mean, I'm trying to get a cake made through your bakery department, and I can't get a straight answer. Is someone in charge?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, hold on 1 second. Let me get a manager for you, okay?
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
She was a good one, huh? She seemed really concerned. Hang on. Oh, boy. Come on. This is Walmart, one of the biggest stores in the country that provides services, one of the largest corporations that pay, you know, a minimum wage to their slave workers and give no benefits. You know, yeah, and it's this is one of the problems that we face. Why all our jobs were shipped overseas, and why you can't find full time work today. I mean, it's if you had a small business out there that provided the same services that Walmart provides, you know, you'd be making $20-$25 an hour, you know, but you wouldn't treat your customer this way. I guarantee it, because you know a small business, they're hands on, and we don't have small businesses anymore in America, and that's one of the problems we face in this country. That's why so many people are out of work. They're hanging around the street corners. They're selling drugs or what have you, or they're getting into trouble. You know.
Thank you for calling Walmart, this is Danny.
Hey, how you doing? Who am I speaking to?
Danny.
Hey, how you doing? I have a question for you. Jerry, is that your name?
Danny.
Danny.
It's Danny, yes.
Oh, okay.
D-A-N-O.
All right, well, I can't get a straight answer from anyone, and I don't know why. I would like to have, I called the bakery department and a couple Walmarts, and I'm having a picnic next week, and I want to have a cake made, but I live here in Greensboro, North Carolina, in the South, and I want the battle flag on it. And they're telling me they will not make a cake anymore with a picture of the battle flag on it. Is that like a new policy that Walmart has because of what happened in South Carolina?
The battle flag, you mean the... The Confederate flag?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Yes, sir. We're not. We don't do that anymore, sir.
Well, I mean, I'm not trying to be rude, and I don't want to push you for anything, but can you tell me why?
No, sir. I'm not sure. We just don't do it anymore.
You can't. Well, listen,
I don't
my
know.
Name's Joseph.
We don't do it anymore. I don't know why.
Oh, you know, so it's just you were told not. You can't do it, right?
Correct.
Okay, well, listen, my name's Joseph Gibson, and you're on Blog Talk Radio right now, and I'm just trying to get some answers as to why I can have a cake made with two men holding hands for a gay marriage, but I can't have a cake made with a picture of a flag. Would you like
I'm
to
not,
share
sir.
Your opinion on that?
No, sir, I have no opinion. No, sir,
have
I have
no opinion.
No, sir.
Well, may I ask why?
I have no opinion, sir. I'm going to have to refer you to our media department.
Your media department, but you as a human being or as an American citizen, can you, I mean, not speaking on Walmart's behalf, but you as an American citizen or a human being, can't you give me your take on this? I mean, do you think this is right?
I do have personal opinions on it, sir, but this is, I believe that this is not the time nor place.
So you're afraid for your job, basically. If you answer
no,
me,
I did not
I'm
say
listening.
That.
Well, obviously you don't want to give me an answer because you're afraid of the repercussions. You want to refer me to someone else. And I'm talking to you man to man as, you know, as an American to an American. And I just want to know what you think in your opinion.
No, sir. This is not the venue for that, sir. If you'd like to talk to me man to man, then yes, I would gladly man to man have a conversation with you. But this is not the venue.
Okay. Oh, I understand, man. So privately, you would speak your opinion, but on a forum like this, you don't think it's correct, right?
If you want my personal opinion, I would give it to you personally. Right. This is not the time or place right now, sir.
Okay. Well, and I understand you don't want to say that, but I kind of assume that, yeah, your job would be in jeopardy. If I was to announce this to people that, hey, the manager at Walmart says this ain't right, they'd probably come down and fire you. Right? I know. I understand. Well, sir, I mean, like I said, you know, this is Blog Talk Radio. My name is Joseph Gibson, and you are live on the air, and you were, you know, I gave you a chance to express your opinion as an American, but, you know, you chose not to, you know, to protect your job, and I understand. But I thank you for your time, sir. I don't want to, you know, put you on the spot any longer because I know you feel uncomfortable. But thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, sir. Have a good day, sir.
All right.
Bye.
Well, folks, there you go. That's America today. That's America today. We're too scared to speak our own mind because we're afraid of what we might lose. You know, the founding fathers in 1776 sacrificed their families, their homes, their farms, their children, and everything they owned and had to make America what it was. And you know, America was a God-fearing, great, beautiful place to live. But we, the people, basically threw it away. Because you know what? I need my flat-screen TV. I need my car in the parking lot. I got to have it. I need my money. I need my paycheck. I need my house. I want to pay my mortgage every month, even though I'm being scammed by the bank. I want to get ripped off. Hey, you know, I want my three meals a day. I'm content with that. How are we going to call ourselves God-fearing Christians in America today when you get something like that? He wouldn't even give me his own personal opinion about what he thought about that particular issue because he was in fear of losing his job. Now, listen, some people may say, oh, that's not right. You're putting him on the spot. You know, he could lose his job. He's got bills to pay. Hey, listen, you want to fix this country today? You want to fix America? Or you want to keep letting it flush down the toilet? What do you want to do? What's important to you as an individual today living in this country? What is important to you? If it's just what those material things, you know, guess what? Times are getting worse. You see it. You see it. For goodness sake, you see what's happening around us today. Come on. You know, I'm not saying go out and save the world. It's impossible for one person to do that. I know that. And if you're putting your faith in the President of the United States, it ain't going to happen either. Or if you think you're going to vote in the next election and they're going to fix everything, come on. Wake up. It's not going to happen. What we have to do is what that gentleman should have did on that phone right then and there and say, you know what? You're absolutely right. You know what? I am in charge of this store as the manager. You want a cake with a Confederate flag? Come on in. Who cares what the public is saying? You know, who's it hurting? Am I going in there and hurting anybody? No. You know, what the hell is wrong with you people out there today? Is everything you have, like I said, and everything you own more important than your future and your children's future and your grandchildren's future? So this country's going down. We see it. There's no jobs out there, folks. You can't get a job nowhere. Alex, we were just talking to Alex. He's got to go into the Army to find a job. There's no job. He can't pay for a college. He's got no money. His parents don't have any money. They're working 40 hours a week for minimum wage, probably. So, you know, wake up. Wake up. What's going on? What can we do to prevent this? Now, look, I could yell until I'm blue in the face, until I lose my voice at anyone who's listening tonight. What can we do positively to fix the current situation we are in? What can we do? Alex, I got you on the line as my guest tonight. As a young American today, being 18 years old, What do you think, in your opinion, we can do to fix? I don't know what whoever's got background noise out there, they better stop it because I'm going to hang up on them. You know, I'm going to disconnect you because it's really disruptive. You know, you got, these are very sensitive. These lines are very sensitive. You could pick up any type of noise in the background. And it's not, and there are people out there listening, okay? So, Alex, I'm going to ask you a question. What, as a young American today, you know, getting ready to enlist in the United States Army, do you think, in your opinion, I know you can't solve the world's problems. I'm not asking you to be God. But as an opinion, I mean, but you still live in this country, what do you think we can do to try to reverse what the hell is happening to us today as Americans? What do you think?
I honestly couldn't tell you. I have no clue.
You have no clue. So you're lost on the issue, basically. You just cannot really, I mean, you're younger. You're young. You were taught nothing in school. You already told me that. You were taught nothing, right?
Right, yeah.
You had to pass your grade. You had to pass your courses or whatever, but they taught you misinformation, so you learned lies, and you told me that already because they taught you that, for example, the Confederate flag stood for slavery, which it did not if you know true history. If you really studied, you would know. But you said you had to agree with them to, get the grade and carry on and graduate, So you had to go along to get along, and that's one of the problems today. When I was in high school, brother, let me tell you this, Alex. When I was in high school growing up in the 1980s, we lived in a different era back then, okay? We listened to heavy metal music. We were wild. And when the teachers imposed some sort of rule or law on us, like they imposed on you guys putting cameras up in the hallways and stuff, we would rip them down. Okay? We lived in a different time. We didn't go along to get along. We lived in a different generation. That's why I want to know, where is our generation today? Where are these good people that I grew up with? Why aren't we, they're out paying their mortgage. They're out paying their bills. They got kids to support. They're afraid. Just like that caller we just had. He's the manager of a store. Hey, he's probably making 30, 40 grand a year. He's a manager. Hey, I'm not going to risk my job to answer this guy. I'm not going to stand up for what? Hey, what's the noise in the background? I mean, you can't have any noise. All right, you can't, okay? Because it really disrupts anyone who's listening, seriously. But let me get back to you. It interrupts the train of thought, what I'm trying to do, because I'm trying to wrap things up. You got to, that manager of the store there, he didn't... He doesn't want to put in jeopardy his career for America. He's not saving the country with one answer. But, hey, Walmart owns him right now. Remember, he's working there. He has to do what they say. And he can't openly, say things that he really believes. He said that, basically. Personally, we could have a conversation, but... openly, no, we can't. I'm afraid. Basically, that's what he was saying, right? I mean, logically, listening to his voice, am I right, Alex, or not?
Yeah, you're right.
Am I right, Alex, or not? Okay. If I'm wrong, tell me. The question, that's the problem. We got to stand up for what we believe in. Together we stand, divided we fall. Now, Alex, we don't have much time left, so I want you to... say a couple more things about the Army. Like I said, we're going to pray for your safety. Hopefully, I've been trying to teach you over the years to try to learn the things that I was able to learn, through my rough life, how I grew up, and to understand and show respect for our country and for my, the people around me. Now, people who know me, who are listening tonight, friends, really close friends, they know I was a very, very wild individual. I lived a wild life. And if anyone wants to know about that life, they actually wrote a book about me. It's called Behind the Walls by Joel Hodnick. You can pick it up on Amazon.com. That'd be the best outlet for you to pick it up. That's the cheapest price you're going to get. But if anyone wants a copy, or if you can't afford it, if you're having hard times, email me or contact me on this show here, and I'll send you a copy, I've got about 200 copies, you know, sitting around doing nothing. So, you know, I mean, be honest. If you can't afford it, then I'll send you a free copy. But, you know, that's what I went through in my life. That's why I am where I am today and why I'm able to say the things I am, because I'm not afraid to say what I believe. I mean what I say and say what I mean. And and if anyone wants to challenge me, contact me. Hey, we'll do a debate. Hey, listen, you can look at previous shows on Interpraise Media. I debated scholars about biblical things, about the way the country is being run today. I debated them, made them look like idiots, okay? Made them crumble. They got so mad they kicked me off the show. They couldn't handle it. They couldn't handle the debate, okay? So, you know, I'm not nobody special or perfect. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'm willing to admit it. But show me proof first. Don't give me your opinion. I want to see facts, because you know what? We live in so much trouble today that we have got to understand the truth. But, Alex, we got a little more time here. Listen, you're going into the Army. When are you going into the Army, Alex? Alex, you still there?
Sorry, what'd you say? Yeah, I couldn't hear you.
Pay attention or not? Wake up. Am I boring you?
No.
All right, listen. When are you going in? You got people listening to you tonight, Alex. This isn't some video game, all right? When are you going into the Army? When are you going into the Army?
September 14th.
Okay. And you're going in for 3.5 years. Is there anything you want to say to the people listening tonight as to why you joined the Army, or as to what anything at all that's on your mind? I'm giving you an open forum here where, you know, thousands of people are going to log on and listen. You know, these shows are archived. You know, I had 2,000 hits on the show a week ago, you know, the Sunday night show. That was a popular show. We had 12 callers in at one time. So, you know, if there's anything you want to say, do you want to say? I mean, what are you going to miss the most going into? I mean, are you going to have any regrets? You know, I'm trying to carry you here and help you out. Yeah, are you going to have any regrets, or, you know, what's on your mind? Are you worried? Are you scared? I mean, tell me something here.
I'm not really scared. I'm excited.
You're excited? Okay.
I'm done with high school.
Okay, you're excited. Why are you excited? Because it's something new?
That's part of it, and it's, I don't know, it's just like a new life kind of thing.
You're walking into a new life than you never had before, right?
Right,
okay.
Yeah.
I respect that. I respect that answer. I mean, the life you live in now, you're, like you said, you can't find a job. You know, it's boring. You graduated from high school, where do you go? What do you do? Hang around the house all day,
exactly.
Play video games, right? Okay, well, Alex, I'm going to tell you right now, I hope, you know, we're going to pray for your safety, and hope you're okay. And you do have family out there that are worried about your future. And I wish to, listen, I'm going to give you a piece of advice. You make it out of that Army in 3.5 years, you're going to have, you know, you're going to have a lot of opportunities thrown your way. And let me tell you something. Like you said, you want to re-enlist? You stay in that Army for 20 years, Alex. Stay in the Army for 20 years, you'll have a pension. You'll be 38 years old, retiring. You'll be 38 years old, you stay in that Army for 20 years. You'll be laughing at everybody driving to work, okay? Because you want to know why? You're retired at the age of 38. So you have a chance here to make something of your life. Do it. Don't give up. I'm going to let you know right now, Army is hard. Those first 6 weeks, that boot camp, they're going to kick your ass, buddy. Okay?
Yeah, I know. It's 10 weeks.
All right. Okay, it's 10 weeks now?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, like I said, you're not, you know, you see how I'm questioning you tonight, right? Your drill sergeant ain't going to want to hear what you're telling me. I'm going to tell you that right now. All right, I'm here, yeah. Oh, you better get on your feet, let me tell you. Oh, he's going to ride you. He's going to ride you like you've never seen, all right?
All right.
You may be down doing a lot of push-ups, like in that movie Full Metal Jacket. All right, Alex. Well, we're going to wish you the best. I'm going to go ahead and pray out. All right. We're going to pray it out tonight, and we're going to wrap it up. But those of you that listened, now I really appreciate it. Thank you very much for your support, listening, and what I have to say and what we're trying to do here is to show understanding the times in which we live today. And I really wish more people would participate. Call in and participate and give me your opinion on the things we can do to change the world we live in today. Hey, like I said, I've said it in previous shows, a lot of people got big mouths. But when you give them a stage to stand on and say what they got to say, they hide in the corner. Okay? So, you know, there's a lot of people out there that have a really lot to offer. And I'm not here to insult anybody. This isn't a show where I'm going to tear you down and make you look stupid. Okay? If you come to me with respect and you ask honest questions and voice an honest opinion, I'll respect that. But if you come on here challenging me, I will. I'll debate you. And I guarantee you. I got my facts. And, you know, I apply facts. You want my opinions? I got a million of them, but they're boring. You don't want to hear them. All right? So, let's go ahead and pray it out. Dear Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, come to you, Father, tonight. In the name of your Son, we live in troubled times, live in terrible times, hard times. There's people out there struggling. There's people out there afraid. There's people out there who don't know where they're going to go tomorrow. There's people out there struggling, wondering how they're going to feed their family. There's people out there wondering whether or not they're going to be able to feed their family in the future. There's people with no roof over their head. Father, please comfort their hearts, their bodies, their minds, and their souls. And those of you who are out there who are not saved, you know what? Ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart. If you do not see a change, then I'm a liar. But I guarantee you, you will see a change in the way you think and the way you operate. None of us are perfect. I'm a sinner, and those people out there tonight are listening. You're a sinner, okay? We're not trying to be perfect, but we need to help one another to try to make ourselves perfect. We'll never get there until we die and we see the glory and we go to heaven. But we can be perfect when we go meet our Lord, because there is a creator. Okay, you did not come from a monkey. You didn't roll up on the ocean in the form of a fish. Okay? All right, so, Lord, I ask that you touch the hearts of the listeners tonight, and I hope that you gave me righteous things to speak that would educate and help the people out there listening. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Thank you very much for listening. Amen.
I feel like this all the time, trying to politically awaken people that they're being lied to, that there's an agenda. It's not left or right. It's, hey, there's mind control going on. The signals broadcast 24 hours a day through all this media. Just become aware of it, and they'll say, there's nothing going on. And I want to say, put on these glasses or start chewing concrete.
They have taken the hearts and minds of our leaders. They have recruited the rich and the powerful. And they have blinded us to the truth.
The question is, do we all work for central bankers? That's what I want to address to our guest tonight.
Our impulses are being redirected. We are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep.
An estimated 50 to 70 million Americans suffer from a sleep disorder or sleep deprivation.
Outside the limit of our sight, feeding off us, perched on top of us from birth to death, are our owners.
Latest census numbers prove the United States has the biggest gap between rich and poor compared to all westernized countries today.
Our projections show that by the year 2025, not only America, but the entire planet will be under the protection and the dominion of this power alliance.